It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and it's my great pleasure to welcome an extremely well-known person into the studio today, Tony DeMarco. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks for having me. I don't know if I'm extremely well-known, but sure, the introduction.
But I watch you every week.
Where do you do that?
On Blue Bloods. Anthony DeMarco.
He's a character.
Well, let me direct your attention. It's been running for about 12 years now.
Okay.
It's a show, police procedural, as it's called, and it's all about a family called the Reagan family, where the main character is the chief police person in the city of New York, and he has an extended family. That extended family includes an assistant district attorney. And her investigator is named Anthony DeMarco. So I assumed when you kind of, but you're a little bit smaller than he. He's a rather plus-sized figure. In any case,
just a little fella.
Well, you can take a look at that. In any case, Anthony DeMarco, your address is at usda.gov. And I understand that you're an hydrologist with a program for Alaska Snow Survey, is that correct?
That is correct. I work as a hydrologist for the agency. It's called the NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Services. It is a part of the Department of Agriculture, and the Snow Survey is a program. Would you like just an overview?
Yeah,
of
please
the program?
Do. Yeah, that would
yeah,
be
so,
good.
Yeah, so like historically, the agency that predated the NRCS was called the Soil Conservation Service, and it was set up sort of post-Dust Bowl for kind of an erosion thing. And so they were developing this program called Soil Survey. Kind of simultaneously, there was this guy in outside of Tahoe named Dr. Church that was setting up what became known as Snow Survey. Basically, he had noticed that, you know, differences in snowpack in the Sierras was like bigger snow years in the Sierras would result in, you know, more water in both Lake Tahoe and the drainages around there. And so he started taking measurements at specific points in the basin, and he developed a tool that we still use to this day called a federal sampler. It's a kind of, in the manual version of Snow Survey, it is a metal tube you stick in the snow. It's got a scale that's calibrated so that an ounce of weight is equal to an ounce of water. And so you take a depth and you know the water content, so you know the density of the snowpack. And so he started making these points, and they started correlating the points of snow to the amount of water in the rivers. And that is sort of like the precursor to what became a Snow Survey. And so the modern day version of it is all the western states have a program. Its mission statement is water supply forecasting. And so we measure points at specific places, and we have stream forecasters on staff that say, you know, this amount of snow loosely translate to this amount of water. It's very different how it looks in Alaska. So, yeah, it's sort of like who I work for. The
right.
Specifics of like technical details, how we go from manual measurements to the program that we have now. I mean, I can.
Yeah, let's first of all just make sure I'm with you on what you have described. I think you've done a good job of giving a little bit of the history. And my understanding is, of course, a lot of attention is being drawn to snow and the water flowing from the melting snow, in particular in California. And it happens, I think, in times when you have something different happening. For example, you have an extraordinary amount of snow that comes down. You're beyond what you normally expect, or not as much. And then people begin to take notice. I guess what I'm thinking about here as we focus on Alaska, it appears to me that this year, both a year ago and just recently, we've had some different kinds of snowfall. And as I'm looking out the studio window, I can see not just the remnants, but a fair amount of snow remaining from those falls. So just to start off our discussion here and to get to the details of what you do, is this different than, how different is it than whatever we talk about as an average snowfall at this time, and snow on the ground.
So the first question, is it different? Yes, it's always different. Every year is different.
Okay.
When we talk about, you will hear hydrologists and all people in different versions of weather variables, we will talk about normal. And in my world, in snow hydrology, normal is a 30-year median. So we look at the data, and I mean, a lot of our data set is not robust enough to say what is normal. For instance, Palmer, we don't have a station, we don't have a station with any history in Palmer. Okay. Also, Palmer is like one of the challenges of measuring snow is that it's solid precipitation, and wind tends to blow solid precipitation around. So, you know, like the snowbank that I'm looking at here, that's not a representative amount of snow that has fallen here. That has been, I mean, I don't know, after the big windstorm, I was driving through Farm Loop and was like, there's no snow anywhere. Where did it go? Well, it went to a few places. Our warehouse over by the airport is one of those places. So how different is it? I can talk about the snow. Most of this remnants is from that snowfall in mid-December. If you want to know specifically about that, we can talk about it.
Okay. You brought up the 30-year time frame. And as with some other statistical analysis that are done, you get trend lines more than the specific, this one year is more than whatever. What would you say the trend has been? Do you have a sense of that over what data we do have, particularly in this, anywhere around this Palmer area?
You know, we can talk, so the program that I work for, Snow Survey, we are what you would call an index survey. We like to cite our locations in places that are representative of things larger than that specific location, but really all we are saying is this is what is occurring at this location. As far as trends, I will say I can point you to some data sets that, like satellite.
Oh, okay.
Satellites have been great for, you know, saying things about, you know, as climate change is affecting snow, what it's doing. I mean, there's very generality. Like, you can speak in generalities and be like, generally, the, you know, snow season is getting shorter.
Okay.
But, you know, like, looking at our data set, which, you know, say you want to talk about Palmer, well, our historical data record, that the closest that we get is going to be the road up to Hatcher Pass. So I can tell you a lot about the snow there and what it is like this year comparatively. And I've done some analysis as far as like how that relates to some of the snow measurements that other people take. Like there is one at the experimental farm, the Matanuska,
right,
that is like a manual observation about snow,
right.
But it's not one of ours. I have compared some things. But yeah, so when we're talking about normal, I can talk about, you know, what it's doing in the Talkeetna's. But as far as Palmer itself, it's kind of difficult to say. I could make some inferences based on data if you want to.
Well, we'll go to the inferences down the road, but you brought up the very specific event that most recently happened that has left us all the snow. Talk a little bit about that.
So, you know, we're talking about, I think it's about a 10 or 11 day period that started, I think, December 5th.
Yeah.
And there, you know, looking at, I think for low elevations in South Central Alaska, the best data set we can look at is going to be the manual snowboard at the Anchorage airport, because it goes back to the 50s. And they, for a 10-day period, it certainly was robust. It was, I think, a fifth highest that Anchorage had recorded. I think the thing that's kind of remarkable about it is, like, so for instance, Anchorage at the airport, you know, a few hundred feet above sea level, if that, you know, we have a station near Glen Alps that has been taking measurements, not very robust, but it's got some history to it. And I looked through 10-day totals for Anchorage Hillside, and the amount of snow that it collected over that same 10 days was a lot, but not remarkable. So I think the remarkable thing about that snow event is that there was very little orographic lifting. So the same amount of snow that was recorded in the mountains was recorded at sea level. And so, you know, particularly like that 10-day total was, the Anchorage airport said 40 inches of snow. Inches of snow is not a measurement that we do. We do what is called snow water equivalent. And so over that same period, we recorded 3.6 inches of snow water equivalent, which is fairly similar. I think the remarkable thing about the snow that you see in Palmer is more about the wind event that followed.
Yes. I was here.
Yeah.
I experienced it, and I have been here for many years. And this is quite probably the most extraordinary wind event with the snow and the drifting that I've ever seen. I mean, I know it because we had to move 6-foot drifts from places that had never drifted before.
Sure. All right. Our warehouse by the airport, we have equipment that will be buried, is buried now, has been buried since then, and will be buried until it melts.
So I'm particularly struck by the comment you made about what you use as a measurement and the water equivalent thing, because it's, I think anyone's experience has been out in snow over time, that you have what is often referred to as dry snow and then wet snow, particularly in the spring and March, you get this wet, heavy snow coming down. So it's got, my estimation, a lot more water in it. Is that accurate, or how would you describe that?
Absolutely. I mean, in very general terms, you know, the warmer, you can look at, you can make inferences about the quantity of snow that you measure and the temperature and come up with what you would call a density, or measure the snow water equivalent. So yeah, like here around in winter in South Central Alaska, you know, it's very common for the density of falling snow to be about 10%. So, you know, you get 10 inches of snow, you get 1 inch of water. And so you can kind of make, you know, loose estimations about what we collect snow water and be like, how many inches of snow is that? But
okay, so we have an interesting situation that happened here in downtown Palmer, and that is a portion of the Palmer Public Library roof collapsed. There was snow on it. It was on it for a while, and then time went on, and it appeared that in some sense, the snow got heavier.
Well,
or what happened? What, from your standpoint, not as a structural person, but as a snow person, what happened to that snow that was up there that perhaps contributed to the collapse of the roof?
Well, did it get heavier? I mean, the density improves or increases. So, you know, like if it fell as 4 feet of snow and 3.6 inches of water, let's just take Anchorage, and, you know, that over time that's going to compress, that same amount of water will still be in there, but the density will go up. Now, structurally, you know, you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, snowfall is, there's only two things in it, water and air, and water is the thing that weighs anything. So as far as the Palmer Library specifically, I couldn't venture, like, what, I actually don't even really know, because it hadn't snowed for a while, right?
Oh, no, it had been, yeah, you're right. It had not snowed for a while. And I guess what I'm looking toward, I noticed this, the snow on the ground and beside my driveway, it's turned to ice, okay? And so on a pounds per square inch basis, does this change the way that snow is lying on the roof, or is, you know, I guess I'm just, and I'm not, knowing you're not into the structural game part of this, et cetera, I'm just curious what happens when I know, for example, I take my shovel and I take this fluffy first fall and I say, whoo, I am good. I move this snow. I come back a while later, put that in, I lift, I say, ooh, wait a second, what happened to my body?
Absolutely. I mean, two things I guess I should put a plug in for. We, as a product, the agency that I work for, staffs engineers, and we do snow load calculations specifically for roofs. So if you were to go on our website, which just Google Alaska Snow Survey, and we can, you know, I could get on here and show you exactly where it is, but there is snow load calculations that are going to be in there, and it will say, look at your local snow tell, and it will estimate the amount of inches of water that's there, and then it will run through an equation to give you the pounds per square foot or whatever. I think, isn't that what roofs are normally calculated to? 70 pounds per square foot or something.
Right.
So I think what you're absolutely, you know, if you're shoveling snow, the loose stuff at the beginning can be joyful, and, you know, later it can be quite difficult to deal with. I mean, you're essentially, your density is, as it settles, your density is increasing. So the amount of water, the weight of it in the area is also increasing. So, you know, at the beginning, you can, you know, you have this light fluffy stuff and then it compresses down. So what you're seeing, like a shovel load of snow, is going to weigh more in the compressed version than the, you know, freshly fallen snow.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Tony DeMarco, and we've been talking about the Alaska Snow Survey and some of the work that he does as a hydrologist with this. I appreciate your walking through these aspects that are practical and affect people around snow. Let's go back a little bit to say, you mentioned some sites in Anchorage that provide the data that you use. You mentioned Hatcher Pass. What other, just for listeners to get a sense of it, what other sources of the data do you have in, say, the greater Palmer area?
Okay, so step back a little bit and go to, like, the history of the program that I work for. And so at the beginning, it was these manual measurements where people at certain times, and our survey window is, depending on where you're at, it's a five-day window around the first of the month that has always been the same places has been measured. And for historical data in Alaska, these can be some of the best places to go to. Now, at some point, we moved past manual measurements into what we call the Snowtell weather station. So what that stands for is snow telemetry. Telemetry is broadcasting data. So we started making these stations that will take the measurement for us. Now, it's done in a different way. We have a few variety of sensors. I can get into the technical details of they are. But as far as specifics, you know, we have the Independence Mine Snowtell. Recently, we installed the Frostbite Bottom Snowtell, which is above the Ski Talk ski area.
Okay.
In that bowl between the mountains called 4068 and Frostbite Ridge.
Right.
And then for historical data, and this is when I often want to look at, like, people ask me, like, how is this snow year compared?
Right.
I will look at our manual measurements. And those going up to Hatcher Pass, if you're driving up the road to Hatcher Pass, starting at right before the corner, the Gold Mint parking lot corner, there is the Little Susitna snow course, which is at, I think, about 1,700 feet. And then there's one at Archangel Road, one at, and this is the kind of the most interesting one to me, is the Fishhook Basin. So if you're, like, you know, say you're cross-country skiing from the parking lot up to Independence Mine.
Right.
On the other side of the creek going towards Microdot, there, often people, you'll see there's five big sticks in the snow. And those are, like, historical points that around the first of every December, February, March, April, and May, people go in and measure snow the same way that they have been measuring snow since Dr. Church did it in the 30s as manual measurements. And that, so that particular area has been measured the same way since, I believe, 1963.
Whoa.
So, and that for Alaska, that's some of the oldest data that we have. There's a few other places that have a more robust history. So that's going up to Hatcher Pass. Going towards Anchorage, there is a snowtell station called Moraine that, if you go into the Aklutna Basin, it is the Bold Ridge Trail. It's kind of at the extent of tree line on the Bold Ridge Trail, or not on it, but it's pretty close to the actual trail. And that is actually one of, I think, the snow course that predates that is actually the oldest snow measurement that we have in Alaska. But it is, you know, from a, you know, being that it's most of the water supply for the municipality of Anchorage, it makes sense to put a weather station that measures the water content of the snow. Interestingly enough, in South Central Alaska, that is, like, our driest basin. So if in terms of rainfall or precipitation, I think Aklutna would be less robust if it did not have all that ice that melts into the basin. So going there and then continuing to Anchorage, there's some manual snow courses that I think are useful to give you a high to low elevational look at what snow is doing. That's on the Arctic Valley Road going up to the ski area. And then we get into Anchorage Hillside. Going north, there's one at the corner of the Talkeetna turnoff, Sioux Valley. At Sioux Valley High School, that's where it is.
Oh, okay.
And
what about going up toward Glacier View? Is there anything up out that
way? So this is like a place that we don't know a whole lot about, or I can't say much with. There's a snow course that has been measured for a fairly long time, long enough that we've been able to calculate what the normal is.
Okay.
So that is at Sheep Mountain.
Got it.
And I could look up exactly what it's at right now, but generally all of the places that I have just been talking about are above normal. We would like to put one somewhere, a actual telemetered weather station somewhere around Eureka. I mean,
right,
be
right.
A good useful from a putting sighting things around passes, you know, give you useful watershed information.
Okay. Tony DeMarco, I'm really interested in hearing this because I think that when people, listeners, myself included, think about, okay, we get some reference from whatever weather service or comment that is reported that, oh, there's 5 inches of snow. Well, there's an assumption, at least in my mind, built behind that, that, oh, this is coming from some accurately reporting place. But I think what you've described is that you can get, perhaps even when I step out the door each morning and walk over here and I look down and I say, okay, how deep is my footstep there? Is that 2 inches or 3 inches? Because we talk to friends who are in the area and they may be just outside of Palmer at a higher elevation. And they'll say, well, we're seeing about 5 inches. And I say, well, we got about 2 inches. Those are perhaps somewhat accurate, but they are only kind of site-specific. And so what I'm understanding you're providing is a much kind of better real sense of what the snow is like. Am I right in that? Am I praising you too much?
Yeah, I think you are. But it's a different comparison. I will say as when I, you know, describe what I do to most like snow enthusiasts, they will, and I'm like, oh, we have a weather station at Independence Mine. Often the first question I get is, how many inches of snow has Independence Mine gotten this year? And inches of snow is, so like take a ski area. What they do is they have what's called a snowboard, and it's basically like, you know, you'll see like a lot of them have cameras that point to them, and it's like a board with a ruler off it, and
right.
They will every, you know, 24 hours they will clean it off and they will measure the amount, the inches of snow that have fallen there. Now, ski areas aren't the only places that do that, and actually this is a place in general most weather data has become more robust every year. We get more and more information. The Weather Service has similar, they're called manual observers, and they essentially have
right.
snowboards. They're manned and they will take like that exact same thing. How many inches, and they will log it. Now, as they have automated their weather stations, they have gotten rid of a lot of their observers.
Okay.
And so this is a data set that is actually like decreased over years. But so without people there to manually count the inches of snow that falls, it's a lot easier to count the amount of water that is in the snowpack. We do take snow depth measurements. We have different versions of essentially what it is it's a mounted on a tower, and it shoots a sonic burst down towards the snowpack, and then
okay.
it measures the distance that is you know between it and the snow and calculates the depth of snow. It is got some problems and calculating inches of snow from that. I've looked at it. It's not easy to do, and often these sensors have an unfortunate thing where they often don't work when it's snowing. So you kind of get like a gap of like when it's actually snowing, and then it'll come back and it'll tell you what it's reading now. And snow settles, and the lighter
Got
the
it.
Snow, the more it settles. And
okay, let's pretty much wrap this up. I've asked a bunch of questions, and you've nicely gone through and give us some history and a sense of what it works here. This is the Alaska Snow Survey, and if we go online, you have a website that has a lot of information about how this can be useful to people, etc. What would you like to share as we finish up that we have not talked about yet or emphasized for listeners?
Just that my product is out there. If you Google Alaska Snow Survey, you'll come to our website. I would also just kind of throw out my contact information. I am a public employee. If people have specific questions, I like to hear them. This is my job, but I'm also very interested in it. I like seeing what people's questions are about it. We do have this very handy interactive map. So you can go on to our website and you can choose the variable that you want to look at, height of snow, snow water, and you can It's got an interface with all of our stations on there, and you can click what you're looking for. And yeah, so I guess I'd throw a plug to our website, and then I would give you my contact information.
Go for it.
Which is Anthony. My email address is anthony.demarco, D-E-M-A-R-C-O, at usda.gov.
That's very good. Anthony DeMarco, thank you very much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.